I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, the UK Bills podcast, Bills News with the UK twist. It's Matt and Alex. What is it? Divisional round now, isn't it?
Moving on.
Step two on the revenge tour. Heading into Arrowhead. Everyone's seen the picture of Stephon Diggs watching the celebration last year. Hopefully it'll be revenge and we'll be the other way around this year. Alex, how are you doing, my friend?
I need so desperately for this game to be as low stress as possible.
So I assume then that you're not, there is a bit of doubt whether coming into your head that it's not going to go the way we all hope it is, or it's going to be a very close one that you're going to be having no nails, hiding behind the pillow and all that sort of stuff.
Sure, there's a little bit of doubt, but more than anything, it's just my headspace is so wrapped around moving back home, trying to find an apartment, looking at cars. We just sold our car here. Just, you know, looking for a job. I've had interviews. Like, I want to be able to turn on the Bills game and escape any kind of, you know, heart racing induced, you know, stress. So just go out there and just, you know, beat them 30-7 or something. That's what I need right now more than anything. And then next week when I'm home, it'll be the AFC Championship game in Orchard Park against the Bungles. That's what I'm hoping for most.
That's fair. So you don't think the revenge tour will have the third leg?
No, the Titans are the absolute worst number one seed I've ever seen in my entire life. They keep winning games by just pure luck and sheer just things falling their way. I mean, Tannehill hasn't had a good game in like 8 weeks. You know, they're winning. It's an easy formula, I think, to beat the Titans. And I think that they won't have anywhere close to being able to put up 38 on us or whatever it was that they put on us last time. But yeah. Before we talk about them, obviously, it's Mahomes and the Chiefs. And McDermott says that, you know, they have so many weapons. I don't consider, you know, Pringle or Hardman to be weapons. I don't worry about McKinnon. What it is it's a worry that we over pursue Hill and Kelsey, and then those other guys have space. They're not creators, they're beneficiaries. And that's what worries me the most, especially with Tre'Davious White out. This isn't week five. So much has changed since then. So the narrative absolutely could be like, what we just did and what they just did, you can't do that again, right? I mean, this isn't going to be 40-38. It can't be, right? Like, I'm more of the mindset that these two teams, they've emptied their bag of tricks and it's going to be 13-7.
I think it's possible. I mean, this game can go either way. I mean, it's almost like last week, and it's on Good Morning Football, whatever Josh Allen did, Patrick Mahomes did the same. So we know whatever the outcome is going to be, whether it is a low scoring game or a high scoring game, you're going to have probably two of the best offenses in the AFC. There is obviously the NFC, but in the AFC, going head to head and actually just putting up points, putting up plays, putting up a show for it. But you're right, it's completely different from week five. I mean, week five, we had Trey White. We don't have him now. The Chiefs, they were shocking on defense. They didn't really have a passing offense. And since that game, they were 9-1 going down the stretch.
Yeah. They've had some weird games since that. I mean, only put up 3 points on the Titans in week seven. Barely beat the Giants in week eight, 13-7 win against the Packers. Like, how do you have that great of a defensive performance? You know, like, they had a run where they gave up 17 to the Giants, 20 to the Giants, 7 to the Packers, 14 to the Raiders, only 9 to the Cowboys, 9 to the Broncos, 9 to the Raiders, and then the Chargers put up 28 on them. Then the Steelers only scored 10, but that's the Steelers offense. It's really, yeah, like they've been, when the offense shows up, the defense doesn't. When the defense shows up, the offense doesn't, but they still kind of got away with it, you know. 3-point win to the Giants, you know, only 22 against the Broncos, but their defense only allowed 9. You know, they only scored 19 against the Cowboys, but they only give up 9. The biggest thing and the most recent thing, you know, to look at was 31-34 loss to the Bengals. We could do that. 28-24 to the Broncos in a game where they needed to win for playoff seeding. I think they really put their best foot forward and they just barely beat the Broncos. Giving, you know, they dominated the Steelers, honestly, but, you know, I think the Raiders could have dominated the Steelers. So,
yeah.
I think really looking at the Bengals game and what happened there. Obviously, that's away. They're home now. You know, Andy Reid, second to Bill Belichick in terms of best coach in the league over the last X amount of years, might finish stronger than Belichick, obviously. But I mean, your resume is only as good as your quarterback, is what we've seen from last week. Can our offense do it again? That's the biggest question. This is offense versus offense, and it comes down to probably which defense gets a turnover, and how many. Obviously, that's always the biggest thing in any game is if there's turnovers, you're going to win the game unless you play Dallas on a Monday night in like 2012 or whatever that was, right?
yeah.
And I think the biggest thing is going to be Singletary. I think if we can control the clock and run Singletary, that's how we win this football game.
Yeah, I think this offense has really started to come at just the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we put up 38 points on them in week 5, but that was not with a running game. That was mainly just Allen throwing the life of God out of that ball to actually to take advantage of this of the Chiefs secondary on there. But as we've seen since the second half of the Bucks game, this offense really start to click a bit more. And the way Singletary, and where was this? There was a stat that since like week 13, let me see if I can bring it up.
I think it's like since week 9, he's 4th in the league in rushing yards. Allen is 6th. Something like that, maybe since week 13. Yeah, I don't remember.
Since week 13.
Week 13, yeah.
Singletary has put up 456 yards and 7 touchdowns. Josh Allen, 407 yards and 3 touchdowns. The only people above Singletary, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Rashad Penny, and above Allen, obviously, we've got Sonny Michel and Najee Harris.
Yeah.
So the way that they've got this run game actually now going really adds an extra dimension, adds something else that now the Chiefs are going to have to be wary of, because obviously they know that Allen's going to be dangerous through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And with the weapons that we've got, Knox, Diggs, Davis, Beasley, Sanders, McKenzie on there, but now they definitely have to step up and respect that run game, because since we've actually gone to Singletary as the main go-to guy, this offense has really opened up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be ways we can beat you as many ways as possible. So don't get me wrong.
I'm fine with thinking that Dable was holding on to this until now. I can fully understand that if you let ride with a base package of just letting Allen do his thing, you can beat most teams. And I think, you know, we ran into some speed bumps here and there. But I think the playbook is super open now. I think adjustments have been made, and you just, You just really got to hope that they still have some tricks up their sleeve to beat Kansas City, because I think this is going to be the biggest test until if we get to the Super Bowl. I don't know. Yeah. Where's your confidence level at on a scale from 1 to 10?
I say for the most of me, and everyone knows, you know, that I'm probably the most optimistic person around when it comes to this. But I think I'm about a 7 or an 8
mm-hmm.
on there. I'm just going on the fact that, yes, and as I say, the narrative, the fact that it's now a different team to what we've played in week 5. I mean, people go on, as we say, people go on about the stats, about, oh, it's a different team, and fill in all these NFL stats, like what was the one we were talking about earlier before we came on air, about certain amount of teams have scored a certain amount of points, won by a certain amount of games, won the Super Bowl. Those are just stats that make people sit up and wonder and try and draw their own conclusions out of it. But the fact is always you play who you're facing. You play whoever's opposite you on that line of scrimmage. That's the phrase I was trying to think of. You can only play who you're up against.
Yeah.
Forget paper.
And I definitely think we're out of our own way. You know, I definitely think that that's not an issue now. I think we're really settled in with this offensive line. Allen is comfortable. And, you know, it's definitely one of those things that we were begging for. And, you know, unleash Allen, you know, take off the shackles, you know, let him do anything. And I think they're absolutely letting him do anything. You know, just watching film from Allen over the last few games, him in space, his ability to either run, make the first man miss, and just his arm when he's moving is so accurate still. I hate that, but I guess it's true with any team. You live and die with your quarterback. There's no other sport in the world where you live and die with one player. You know, definitely not, you know, baseball, definitely not, you know, your football, you know.
You can call it soccer if you want to call it soccer.
Yeah. You know, like Messi plays national team, Argentina, right?
Yeah.
They don't win the World Cup every year, you know? So, I mean, every 4 years. So just, we're going to live and die with Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. And his confidence in himself and in his team is so high right now. Let him run. Let him bootleg. Let him pitch it backwards. Let him throw it away and still score touchdowns. And that then sets up everything else. When you want to do the all, you know, schemey type stuff with Beasley against a zone, that kind of Allen RPO sets up stuff with Singletary. Start the game with just Allen doing his thing. And if you fail, you failed with your best game plan. And that's, you know, letting Josh Allen dictate. So I'm not worried about our offense in this game. You know, I said earlier, you know, I don't think they could do it again. But honestly, that you don't need 37, you might need, you know, 30. And, that's gettable. My biggest worry is our defense being able to stop Kansas City's offense. And I only say that because look at what we did to a high-ranked pass defense last week. The Patriots were ranked high on defense because they didn't play anybody all season. And when they did, it didn't hurt them enough to drop their rankings. Now, looking at our defense against who we played, Patriots, not a good pass offense. Jets, not a good pass offense. Falcons, not a good pass offense. Patriots, not a good pass offense. Panthers, not a good pass offense. Bucks, good pass offense, 33 points.
Yeah, that's the one.
Nope, Saints, nope, Colts, nope, Jets, nope, Jags, nope, Dolphins, nope, Titans. Not a good pass offense. They beat us on the ground. The last time we've played two good passing offenses all year. And it was the Chiefs, we allowed 20. It was the Bucks, we allowed 33. Yeah. So that's really the only kind of thing that we can, you know, look at in the week five game against the Chiefs isn't it. So the best film that we have on what to expect from our defense is week 14, the overtime loss against the Bucs. And if you take that defensive performance and couple it with, you know, the offensive performance last week, everything shows this is going to be a game where both teams have 30 points, and you just got to hope to God we have the ball last.
I think you're right. I think it is going to be down to who can turn over, and out of everything, I do think that the worry, well, I wouldn't call it a major worry, a minor worry would be how this offense now copes with the Chiefs, who have, I say, got back to their last season form in the last last 10 games and all that. In week five, we only rushed four, but we had Trey White in the lineup to really shadow Hill and all that. We had good coverage on Kelsey. But this week, we're going with Wallace and Jackson. It's going to have to take a big game from both Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Yeah. I mean, bigger than what they've done this season to actually overcome this. I mean, if we can get pressure from the four, rushing the four, and against them, we got two sacks, 25 pressures in that week five game. But again, that's week five. It's different to week to the divisional game. But if we can get the pressure on there with four, maybe six, without blitzing,
how dangerous times can be. Such a big Ed Oliver game.
Yeah. And the big Harrison Phillips game as well, because if he can eat up the blocks,
you've got enough
for Oliver, you've got enough for the edge to come. But
you'd really wish you can get some pressure off the edge as well to go with Oliver up the middle, and there's just not enough consistency between Russo. Honestly, we know it now, but our best pass rusher all season was oddly Mario Addison. Hughes beats his blocks, so hopefully it's we just haven't seen enough, or we haven't heard his name enough.
Yeah.
So hopefully Hughes, you know, has that little bit left in the tank. Diggs earlier in the week has said there's Russo could do more. We can see more from him. You know, lit a fire under his ass. So let's hope that comes from there.
I could even see if Addison's out, I think they will
promote Obada
in there, and I think he could
definitely
have.
I want Epinesa scratched.
Yeah, I think Obada, if he's active, I think it's going to be a game for him as well.
Or definitely more snaps from Obada. I would absolutely want to see the coaching staff put the Epinesa project away until next season when Hughes retires, and let Obada, who's more proven, give him the snaps. Absolutely.
I said that
we haven't faced that many many challenges, but looking at the Chiefs, I mean, week 15, 28 points against the Chargers, week 17, 34 against the Bengals. People talk about how their defense has been fixed, but you can't judge that against the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Steelers, you know?
Yeah. So
we are absolutely in line with what the Chargers and the Bengals can do, and we're better than those teams. So if we can get that 420 yards of offense, you know, Allen goes for like 350, you know, those numbers don't matter. It's all about execution and starting field position. The weather looks pretty clear right now. We've talked a lot about what our offense can do against their supposedly improved defense. We talked about what our defense hasn't been able to do against the only two good passing offenses we've seen all year. Honestly, what's more important? Because you can't do everything well every game. You know, we had a perfect game against the Patriots, but is it stopping Mahomes or is it scoring? Or is it scoring more? You know,
I think it's more important that this defense actually managed to actually slow the offense down, because
I definitely feel that way too, because you can't bank on 30 plus points every game. That's just not how the NFL works. So our offense had their day. Our defense wasn't tested because it was New England, but this is a big defensive game. This is where you earn those number one rankings. Look what you said about Hayden Poyer. You know, it's essentially just, if you could take away one of Hill and Kelsey, let one of them kind of go. I don't think one of them will beat you, but if they both get theirs, they'll beat you. Because if you take away Hill and Kelsey, that means your linebackers are focusing on Kelsey. You know, Milano and Poyer are focusing on Kelsey. Hyde and Wallace are focusing on Hill. That means that McKinnon is catching passes out of the backfield because Edmonds isn't that great of a coverage guy. And that's going to hurt you. So this is
where we say it's Ed Oliver stepping up as well.
Yeah, it's one
the other guy.
It's a front four pressure and it's a perfect zone defensive scheme.
That's how this works. The other guy that really needs to, it's got to be their game for this. If you're talking about maybe having, like, say, Wallace and Hyde taking Hill and Poyer and Jackson taking Kelsey. The one other than Ed Oliver and obviously the safeties to have a big game will be Taron Johnson. Because if you can take away, if you can get like a safety or you get one of the cornerbacks to take away Kelsey and Hill, you're going to have potentially the running backs up against obviously Edmonds, Milano, and might even put in there Taron Johnson.
What I want to see and expect, I don't know if I expect it because I think Frazier just might be scared of pressuring Mahomes, but that nickel blitz off Mahomes' blind side, if you get that with interior pressure from Ed Oliver, I think you can control the game early on. I think if you get Mahomes moving early, that's what it was in the Super Bowl against the Broncos. If you get him running for his life, I think we have the tools to take away Hill and Kelsey for the first 3 seconds of a snap. But just like Josh Allen, when Mahomes does move, he can find guys and their guys can get open when plays break down. And that's what scares me the most.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing you got to look out for. I mean, they did not blitz Mahomes once against us when we played him in week 5.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a way to play Mahomes, to actually to have him to not blitz him, because we know, like, sure. Allen.
Yeah.
Like Allen on there. I don't know what his stats are when he's actually being when he is actually being blitzed.
The Bengals, you know, Trey Hendrickson, love him. You know, they blitzed 6 times, hurried 5 times, hit 4 times, only 9 pressures in the game at a 24.3 pressure rate. So they didn't blitz often. I mean, that's small bits, you know, in terms of what the Bengals defense was able to do against the Chiefs. Looking at the Chargers as well. Let's bring up what they did pressure-wise. I mean, they scored 34 on them. 15 points in the fourth quarter from the Chiefs. They were held in check for the first 3 quarters, and it was down to Mahomes being blitzed 18 times by the Chargers with a 22% pressure rate. So the Chargers get pressure via the blitz. The Bengals got pressure via the front four. What would you prefer to do?
It's difficult. I would probably say not blitz. I would still get the pressure up there, but I would have someone as a spy.
Then that takes away one guy from coverage. That's a very dangerous thing. I know that we've been
beaten
on the ground, but yeah, it's tough. It's so tough to talk about. Could you imagine? We're having a hard time figuring out what the best thing to do is, and we don't coach in the NFL. Could you imagine the sleepless nights that McDermott and Frazier are having right now? It's pressure on top of pressure on top of pressure, plus the most dangerous offense in the league. I can't imagine that they're not taking drugs right now. Well, they don't drug test the coaches, hopefully, because, man.
It just puts it this way. It is almost now an audition. Let's put it this way. If we're talking coaches, it's now an audition for Frazier and Dable. This game. Hear me out, because they've got to, if they can show that they can attack and slow down this Chiefs team as a whole, that's going to put them in a more favorable position. So I kind of think that they may look at this as a bit of motivation.
The Steelers, in their first matchup, they played very recently. So, you know, there's a good view of what a defense does to make adjustments. The first time the Steelers didn't blitz often, they only got like 6 hurries. They had 2 sacks. So in the second matchup with them, they blitzed 13 times, had 3 sacks, a lower pressure rate, 17.8. So the Steelers made defensive adjustments and the Chiefs still put up, 30 plus points in both of those games. 36 on them, week 16, 42 on them in the wild card. I think it really just comes down to a perfect coverage scheme.
We've
shown that we can do that against bad quarterbacks, but looking at what Brady did to us in that first half, it's tough to assume that, our defense can do what they did against Mac Jones versus Patrick Mahomes. That's not going to happen. And, you have all these stupid it's got to be so tough to be on TV every single day in the NFL playoffs because you're talking with the same teams over and over again, and you have to do it every day. So you create these narratives and these arguing points of Mahomes or Allen. Holy shit, they're both great. Would you rather have Mahomes or Allen? I don't care. Give me either one. Doesn't matter. I don't make for good TV, and it probably doesn't make for good radio either. But
yeah,
they're both great fucking quarterbacks. And I don't feel I'm so glad I'm not Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott right now, that's for sure.
Well, I think one thing that could possibly, it probably won't make it easier because they'll probably end up playing somehow, is I've just been going through Twitter. Apparently the Chiefs linebacker Willie Gay's been got arrested.
Well,
breaking a vacuum. Okay. For breaking a vacuum.
What?
The statement from his representative's lawyer says, Willie was at his son's house visiting. He and the mother got into an argument during which he broke her vacuum.
Hey, those are expensive, all right?
So we throw deep dildos in Patriots game. Maybe someone can bring like a mini Hoover and just chuck it on the
field. That was great. Oh, that was so funny.
She called the cops and took him in on a misdemeanor destruction of property of less than £1,000.
Yeah, nothing's gonna happen. He'll play.
But no, I think it's gonna be a game. It's gonna be in a game. I wish it was on earlier.
Yeah.
Because 11:30 at night, I think most people are probably going to be asleep. Obviously, it's good for the American.
No, people are staying up. It's the divisional round. Everyone's going to stay up. I'm staying up. You're staying up.
Well, I'll have a nice long sleep the next day. I'm going under the knife.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Make sure you can't eat, though, right? So don't be snacking during the game. Can't eat before surgery.
I've got to read that note. I've got to read it now. I can't drink. After 6, right? This is 6 a.m.
Oh, man.
We'll see. But final thoughts before we get your score prediction.
Final thoughts. I'm honestly scared to hell. I have no doubt that we will be back for multiple times because Josh Allen is our quarterback. But we're here now, and I bloody want it. And I just wish that the Chiefs weren't in our way. Yeah. But they are. And it's their house, and the AFC is and has been theirs. And I think because we don't have Trey White, I don't think we can win this game. I just think that our defense hasn't been tested by good enough passing games all year long to – I say that, and then the thought comes to me, hey, idiot, they practice against Josh Allen every fucking week. They practice against Josh Allen every single goddamn day. So they should be ready. And yeah. I just think the loss of Trey White hurts more than anything else. And I don't expect to win the game.
Okay, score prediction.
No,
go on.
There is no score prediction. Whatever it is, a little bit of me is saying this as a jinx. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I picked them to lose. So if they win, you know, whatever. I'm not going to give a score prediction. I just don't feel I'm just not in the right place to be able to pick them, you know. We can score 40, and I just think that Mahomes and company can score 45.
Yeah. I mean, my final thoughts is that it's going to need a big game from Oliver, from Hyde and Poyer on there. I think they are the keys. If they can have that good game, I think we will beat the Chiefs on that. I still think we can beat the Chiefs.
I think we can. I do.
I still think that Allen's not barely been touched the last four games.
Yeah.
And we've got a settled O-line. We've got a run game started. So this offense has now clicked. Mm-hmm. I think if we have that key, have those three key players, I think it's a win. I'm going to stick my neck on the line to say we will win. And it is hard to put a score on it. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Mm-hmm. I just can't put a score on it, but it is going to be a Bills win.
I wasn't this nervous for last year's game because I was kind of just happy to be there.
Mm.
I haven't felt like this since the 1999 Stanley Cup Finals.
That's true. I mean,
I've never wanted anything more for something that isn't directly impacting my life, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel like in 99, the cup was obtainable because of Dominic Hasek. And now I feel like the Lombardi Trophy is obtainable because of Josh Allen. I just hope that there is no Brett Hull to get in our way.
Well, let's just put it this way. The last time, and we're talking about history, this is history. The last time the Bills played the Chiefs on the 23rd of January, we beat them 30-13.
Well, let's hope that happens again.
But that was at the Ralph. Yeah,
that's, yeah, obviously. But
well, we know people are going to ride the all the stats of certain teams and all that, and that's fine. I hope in this show we've actually really... what's the word? Tempered? Really?
I don't think I've done anything to make anybody feel better.
Well, no, I mean, like, reserve. Don't go full in, base it on what's happened in the past to the game.
Of course, yeah. Week 5 is a non-starter in terms of conversation about what can happen this game. Like I said before, the biggest things to look at are what Tampa Bay did to us and what Cincinnati did to them. That's the game script. That's where to look at. That's what to watch, and that's what to compare.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll be a review show where we will be celebrating. I'll probably still be out of it. Yeah. More likely on Tuesday, I'll still be out of it. Not through jinking and celebrating when the Bills actually go to the championship game, but from the surgery. But keep following us on all the socials at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook, YouTube, at UK_Bills on Instagram. Like, follow, share, spread the word, subscribe, everything to build the fan base up. And for Alex, Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
RIP Bubble Man.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.